Welcome to this week's episode of The Nerdy Rat. We're going to have lots of updates on new fosters and a new girl we adopted. We're going to talk about some really interesting local animal news, Castlevania, the Netflix series, and other nerdy games that we've been playing. So here we go.
Welcome.
It is September 11th. So
2017. It's Monday.
Yes. So just a quick shout out to all the 9/11 first responders and everyone who lost loved ones. Yeah, it was a long time ago, but
all the rescue dogs too.
Yeah. Yeah. We just want to remember that. So yeah. Thoughts out to that.
This is the first year that I haven't really thought about it that much. Like till we were getting ready to start the show, I didn't realize today was the 11th,
to be honest. I wasn't keeping track of the date. But yeah, and it's sad.
Yeah, where were you during 9/11?
I was in my first apartment, and my roommate had gone to work and seen the Pentagon explode. So she called me, but she didn't say what had happened. And she was like, don't go outside. But we didn't have our TVs or even our radio hooked up yet. Like, we had literally just moved in.
Yeah.
So I had to call home and find out what had happened.
Yeah.
So
I remember I woke up and I saw the news, and me and my friend walked down to the gas station to get a newspaper.
Wow. Yeah.
Crazy. Like, we don't read a lot of newspapers, but
you were in Florida at that time?
Yeah, I was living in Florida. It was like my second or third apartment.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's talk about some rat stuff. We've got a lot of updates for our fosters.
So did we talk last time about Willow and Hummus getting adopted, or did we think they were about to get adopted?
I think they were about to get adopted, but they were adopted by a very nice lady who named them Loki and Hermes.
Yes, I love it.
She sent us a bunch of pictures, a lot of updates and stuff.
Yeah, she really loves them. I really miss them. Those boys wormed their way into my heart, let me tell you. So I have missed them a lot, but I'm really glad that they have such a loving mom and that they seem to be doing really well.
Yeah, I'm real happy with the lady who adopted them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's been very kind to send us so many pictures and updates, and she seems like she just adores them.
Yeah, she does. So I'm real happy with how that turned out.
Mm-hmm.
So
because we had Willow and Hummus move out, we had two new sets of fosters move in, and one Matt decided to adopt as soon as he saw her.
Yeah.
So talk about Dawn.
So Dawn was part of two rats that was found in a doggy poop bag.
I know.
Behind a gas station or something.
Yes. Yes. Abandoned.
Yeah. Abandoned. So.
And that pisses me off, because if you're going to go to the trouble to bag them up, why not just take them to the shelter?
I wouldn't really call that trouble.
It's not really trouble, but it's more trouble than like just opening the cage door and letting him go. Like, why?
Why not just take
him to a shelter?
I will not pretend to understand why people do that. But
yeah, people are a-holes. But anyway, the shelter thought it was a same-sex pair.
Yeah, so it turned out to be a girl and a boy. So they separated the boy, and we ended up taking in the girl because we didn't have room to take the boy. So the boy, I think, is still at the shelter as far as I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of rats in Twilight right now in Small Angels Rescue, which means they're going to stay
until
they pass.
Weren't they saying like we had like something like 21?
25, I think, in the latest update. Yeah. So, but with Dawn, she's a little girl. She's only maybe about 6 weeks old, so she's very tiny.
Is she only 6 weeks?
6 to 8, maybe. I mean, they're estimating. So they're worried she might be pregnant. So we have to watch to make sure she's not pregnant.
So far, she doesn't seem to be developing any kind of belly. So we're hoping she's not, because she's really young. If she did have the babies, we're not really sure they would survive.
Yeah, we're not sure she would be able to produce enough milk for them. So because she is so tiny. I mean, she is such a tiny little girl. So
yeah, well, I saw her in the parking lot. I told her, I was like, she's all right, we have to keep her.
I know.
And she's all by herself now, too, because she couldn't stay with her brother, I guess, or whoever.
Yeah.
But I don't understand that thinking of just dumping off rats.
Dumping them.
Like, yeah.
Like, the shelter will take your pets.
Why would you put them in a bag, basically, to die? Why not just... Right.
Just take them to the shelter. Like, hello. Yeah. But some people are really cruel. And it could have been a parent punishing a child. I mean, you never know. People are just evil, so...
Or it could have been a kid that did that got them, was trying to hide it from his parents or something. Who knows?
But anyway, we have done. The intros have been going slow with her. We've done well with her, like in the wall with the other rats and in the bonding pouch with other rats. We've tried her once or twice in the big cage just to see what happens. And unfortunately, they chase her. Yeah. So
well, she's really small compared to all of our other rats, too. And I think. Initially, I thought we could maybe go a little bit faster than we normally do.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's just not working out.
So what we're going to do while Matt coughs, we're going to continue with the bonding pouch. Every day we let her snuggle with other rats in the bonding pouch. And then we've got our wall set up. So she's going to have playtime every day, too, with the other rats. And our hope is that as they get more accustomed to her and comfortable with her, and also maybe as she gets a little bigger, because she still has so far to grow, hopefully they'll be calmer with her when she's in the main cage with them.
Yeah.
I think they were excited partly and...
I think we're going to have to take it slower than we initially wanted to.
And yeah.
It's good, too, because we've got another like week left to watch to see if she is gonna
pregnant. So
end up being pregnant. But yeah, hopefully she's not. And hopefully by that point she'll be a little bit bigger.
A little bigger. A little more confident, too. I think when she's a little more confident. Because she was so scared when she came in. So I think when she's more confident, she'll be more assertive with the other rats, even if she's smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, Pinky certainly is not. Intimidated to be confident, and she's the smallest one we have, so
I'm excited to get her introduced, but
Now I have to say Matt has been telling me over and over again, no more rats, we're at nine, and as soon as he saw this little girl I was like, yeah, we're getting another rat.
Well,
aren't we?
Yeah.
You have to understand how I feel sometimes. It's like you just can't say no when they're so sweet and they need you.
I know. It's just we're at a point now where we're cleaning the cage every week. So.
I know. But that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Creesa is going to have to go into the vet soon.
Creesa. So Creesa we had adopted a couple weeks ago. We talked about her on our last podcast. We adopted her from a mom who was moving and couldn't keep her. And she'd been by herself. And she's integrating okay. She and Nim, who's our alpha, tend to squabble a lot because Creesa doesn't understand that if you steal somebody's food, they're going to get mad at you. So she just will like steal their food, like literally right out of their paws. And then she doesn't understand why Nim tackles her and tries to wrestle her.
Yeah, I think she'll learn.
She'll learn. But we do have to take her to the vet. We just discovered last night she has a lump. Now, it's a squish. She's not spayed, but it's a squishy lump, and it's more in her armpit area. So I don't think it's a mammary tumor. We're hoping it's just like a little cyst that can get drained.
Well, we'll see. But
we'll
see.
The
vet will tell us.
Yeah.
So we're taking her
to the vet next week. Our vet's out of town, but she's coming back on Monday. So we're going to take her in on Monday.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the... We kind of knew this was a possibility when we took her in, too. Because
we knew she wasn't spayed, and we were expecting... She might have tumors and things.
Yeah, and we have like an emergency fund set up.
Yeah, we always keep some money
kind of issues
set aside.
And that's the thing. When you have rats, like you really need to have...
Or any pets.
Yeah. You need to have something in the bank to deal with this. And so, we have two other fosters. Which
yes, because we have two foster cages now plus our main cage. So talk about our other fosters.
Well, we have an extra rat cage, which is just my cage. But So we took Dawn, and then what was the story with these two girls?
These were just surrendered by a family. I think the family had asthma and they were having reactions to them, I guess.
Apparently, now we were told when we picked them up that one of them was feral. And
she's not.
Apparently when they tried to pick her up, she got out and she ran
around the shelter, and it
took them a long time to get her picked back up.
So she was really freaked out when our rat coordinator went to get her. Our rat coordinator thought she was feral, but I she's not feral.
Well, yeah, they're not. So I've been working with them over the past week and a half or so, and they were definitely not okay with being handled, and they were very hyper. They're young and they're very quick.
Yes.
And
they're pews. They're pink-eyed whites. And we named them Mary Jane and Gwen because one of them likes to climb it all around like Spider-Gwen. So, of course, Gwen and Mary Jane.
And if they get spooked, too, they will bolt.
They do. They get startled easily. And Spider-Gwen, she just loves to run on her wheel, though. So she's just normally like a very active girl. So it's good that she's getting lots of wheel time to get her energy out.
Well, the first thing I started doing was just getting them to... they would actually climb into the bonding pouch on their own without, if I just held it up to them. Sometimes it'd take a while to get them both in there, but I could get them to crawl in there and then I would just take them and play with them and they would be
with
fine
the bonding
interacting,
pouch. Like he'd put the bonding pouch on
interacting with me
with
while they were in the bonding pouch. So that went over really well. And then I started basically just forcing the issue by holding them for short, very short periods. And they've gotten to a point now where they're still definitely very, they can be spooked easily.
They're a little skittish.
But they are getting more used to me and being more used to being picked up and understanding that's not a scary thing.
Right.
Now, whoever ends up adopting them is going to need to be aware that they are quite quick.
Yes.
And they can get spooked easily, so you need to have a level of caution when you're dealing with them and keep that in mind.
And you need to be comfortable because I've noticed that rats really pick up on your energy. So like when I wasn't very comfortable picking up like our rats, or I was nervous they were going to run away, then they would get nervous and they would run away. And what I realized is that if I really concentrated on staying relaxed and having relaxed hands and like a relaxed spirit as I approached them, then they were much more relaxed. So if somebody is nervous with these girls, that's not going to go over well.
Yeah.
So.
Also, you got to be careful if you're interacting with them. Mm-hmm. Not if somebody comes up behind you and makes a noise, that's going to spook them. Mm-hmm. Any kind of noise is going to spook them. So you just have to be aware of that and just be confident and not, you know.
And the rescue is advertising that they need to go to experienced rat owners.
Having a Critter Nation style cage is a big advantage too, because you can open it up and then they can't, like, they can run back and hide, but you can pick them up quickly without spooking them too much, because that's what I found is like they'll come up and interact with me and they'll sniff me and smell me, and if I calmly pick them up, a lot of times they'll be okay. But the problem with other style cages where you have a small door that you're reaching in, and a lot of times you're coming in over their heads, and that will scare them too. So
remember, for people who don't know, a Critter Nation has the whole front of the cage is double doors that open up, so you can completely open the entire front of the cage. And you can get a single level or a double level. We have a single level for the fosters. It belongs to the rescue actually, but it's our foster cage. So they're much better in the Critter Nation. It's much easier to access them and help them.
Yeah, Critter Nation overall is just such a better cage because you can get it open fully to clean it out. And when you have a difficult rat that likes to hide, sometimes you need to be able to get access to them when they don't necessarily want to be picked up.
Exactly.
I'm a big fan of that cage.
I was really glad the rescue had someone who wanted to donate the single level, and they let us use it for our rescues.
You know, it's
rescues.
Not really that expensive of a cage when you look at
it's
it.
It's not.
A single Critter Nation is only like $1 to $150.
And how much is a Martin 680 like by comparison?
It's because like the 100. It's like 100 to 120.
Yeah, because like a Martin 680 is the minimum recommended size that the rescue.
Now you can get a used one probably for a lot cheaper.
Probably,
but
you know, I highly recommend
the
Critter
double
Nation.
Critter Nation is $209 on Amazon. A double or single is only $144.
Yeah, and it's nice too because it has wheels and it has a shelf on the bottom where you can like store their food and extra supplies and stuff. So it's a very nice cage overall.
I mean, if you're gonna keep rats for any amount of time, it's so much. I feel like in the long run, the quality of life for you and the animal is going to be better if you just get a better cage.
And by the way, that's the same cage as All Living Things, which is sold at PetSmart. I think it's just the knockoff brand. It's the same exact
cage.
I'm
pretty sure they have a deal to make the generic for All Living Things. So.
But it's the same exact cage. And by the way, we have a Pinterest page now for the Nerdy Rat, and we have a board for recommended rat supplies. And we have links to the Critter Nation cage on there if you want a quick way to find it.
Yeah.
So check us out, the Nerdy Rat and Etsy.
And you have a...
Or no, Etsy. Yeah, Etsy is my other one. I'm mixing everything up. So I actually just started making... Well, I've been making bonding pouches for a while. I found a really great pattern online. And I sew. I've sewn for a long time. And So I've been making them for us, and I would gift them sometimes to our forever families who adopt our fosters, because our fosters love the pouch so much. Like, I just want to make sure they have one in their new home. And it was so funny. Matt said to me at the last time we were having an adoption, he was like, you ought to open like an Etsy shop and sell these. Within 2 days, our rat coordinator texted me and said, hey, would you consider selling one of your bonding pouches? I have somebody who needs one and she would buy one from you. So I was like, all right, it's a sign. The universe is speaking to me. So I opened an Etsy shop. It's the name of the shop is The Nerdy Rat, all run together, no spaces. And I'm selling the bonding pouches. I have 6 different styles up there right now. And, you know, if you need a bonding pouch, I will say this is the only style that I've seen. Like, I'm the only one selling this particular style. There is a pattern for it out there if you want to sell your own, but I personally like this style pouch. It's not one with a zipper or anything like that, so it's easy to access and interact with the rats while you're using it.
Yeah, and we looked like for pouches online that were this kind of style, and we have not found, like, we found plenty of hammocks.
There's hammocks and there's other styles of bonding pouches, but they're not quite the same style. There's some scarves. There's some like sugar glider ones, but those mostly have zippers and mesh and stuff like that. So, you know, you don't have to buy from us. We're not going to get rich off this. Trust me. But if you need a bonding pouch, hey, check us out.
Yeah. And one thing, too, like these pouches are like indispensable in dealing with difficult rats.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I agree,
like,
with that.
Using them with Mary Jane and Gwen has, like, been the only thing that has gotten me to start turning them around as being able to be handled, because it just makes them feel safe. And it's like when they're interacting with you, when they get spooked, they can run back to the pouch.
Exactly.
So, and if they don't have that, if they're just sitting on your shoulder, they basically just run off.
Away.
Like,
they
literally jump off your shoulder and try and get away.
Try and run away. Right. But whereas if they've come out of the pouch to interact with you a little bit and they get spooked, they run back to the pouch. And it's nice for them because you can put your hand inside the pouch while they're in it. But also they're just sensing like your body and your warmth and your presence while they're in the pouch, even if you're not touching them with your hand. So it just helps them feel so safe and comfortable with you. Like with Toro, our rat we talked about several episodes ago, who had been raised by himself. And he was very shy and scared. The pouch helped him come around so quickly. And with our new little girl, Dawn, we're using it a lot with her too. And she loves it.
Yeah.
She loves it. So,
yeah. And like I said, it's the same pattern. Like, we're just selling ones that are the same pattern that we posted in our first episode.
Yep. It's that pattern. So if you want to sew your own, if you know how to sew. But I know a lot of people don't know how to sew. So that's why, you know, we thought, hey, I make these, so let's just offer them for sale. And then, you know, like I said, we're not going to get rich. But it's just like, you know, hey, if you need one and you don't sew and you want one, check us out.
Yep. And Halloween is coming up.
Yes.
And we started noticing this fad on Facebook.
Oh, my God. In the Facebook rat groups, yes.
They're taking these, what are they?
They're those spider web dollar store baskets. So they're shaped like a spider web. They've got lots of gaps in between. It's like literally a plastic spider web.
Yeah.
And people are hanging them in their rat cages for their rats. Okay, people, don't do that. They're plastic, right? So they're going to move and slip, and your rat's feet can slip in between them and get stuck or sprained.
Yeah, the biggest danger with these is them getting their feet hung up in them and straining them. And I've had a number of rats that have strained feet in their time. And
not because we put stupid things in their cages either.
It just happens. But like, this is like an extra hazard.
You're asking for it to happen.
Because basically, like, what'll happen is their foot will swell up. It'll look it'll look like a balloon almost. And, and it's similar to like when they get bumblefoot, but bumblefoot is actually an infection of the foot where they've been sitting on wire.
Oh,
but this too is like, this is kind of what causes that is, so when they strain it, and all you can really do for them is to put them on Medicam.
Mm-hmm. Which is a pain med to help.
It's a pain med anti-inflammatory, which will help with it, but you just got to let it heal. But in this kind of situation, I just feel like it's so easy for them to go jump off of it, get their foot caught, and just twist it. And
just get, like, oh my God, why would you expose your rats to getting hurt so badly? Like, people, you just need to think things through.
They look cute, but it's just, seems like a huge danger.
It's so dangerous. And I just wish people wouldn't do that. Like, and so I'm going to caution you with, if you're putting any kind of Halloween decoration in your cage, you need to make sure it's non-toxic, and you need to make sure it's safe for your rats.
Yeah. Like, if it, any kind of flooring should have, like, a solid floor to it.
Yeah.
I've seen where people take the balls and just hang those in a cage, like the exercise balls.
Yeah, which, by the way, are awful to use as an exercise ball.
Which I would never use as an exercise ball.
But they just hang it up.
It's basically like a little condo that they can, like, crawl in, and then they can sleep in there. And, I mean, that's fine, because it's a one solid floor, so they can't really get anything caught in there.
Right.
So. But, yeah, just be cautious about stuff you give to your rats, because especially stuff that has non-solid flooring, because that's always a danger.
Mm-hmm. And I know some people think, oh, well, like, the ramps and the cage aren't solid flooring. But you know what? Those are solid metal, and they're not moving. Like, the slots aren't moving up and down. And also, that's not what your rats
are
going to be on 24/7.
That's not what they're
going
to be sleeping on. They're not going to be sleeping on it. They're going to be using it to crawl up and down.
Exactly. Like, so
it's a little bit less... But yeah, so
I've just seen this blow up on the Facebook groups this week. So please,
I mean, it's like
please,
cute.
Don't do that.
Just put some thought into what you're giving your rats.
Yeah,
when you do it.
Seriously.
You know, and I think maybe a lot of people are doing it not really thinking about it.
Well, they're not. And then the thing is, though, they're hypersensitive when people on Facebook say something to them about how dangerous it is. Like, they just lash out at them. So, you know what?
Yeah, that's like the internet. It's kind of
That's why I'm not saying anything to people on the internet, because there's plenty of other people on the internet who are criticizing them and saying that's not safe. But we're going to say it here on our podcast. Like, that's not safe.
I try to avoid criticizing people,
too.
Especially on the Facebook groups.
Gosh,
because a lot of times it's showing, like, your full name. Like, and I've just got, like... I've seen some of those Facebook groups do some stuff that really should, like, like, naming and shaming people and stuff. It's like, it's not the place to do
that. No, it's not. And also, too, when you approach somebody like that, they're not really going to change. They're just going to get defensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they're not looking for advice or whatever.
Then you're just opening people up to harassment.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
But let's not talk about that.
Let's move on.
So you wanted to talk about Otis T. Squeaks.
Otis T. Squeaks on Facebook. I shared him actually on our Facebook feed. So he is this local hippo. He's a stuffed hippo. He's pink.
He's not real.
He is real, but he's stuffed. He's a little stuffed hippo. So he just showed up as a suggestion one day in my Facebook feed. Now, it turns out he's local, close to where we live, because I've recognized him in his feed that he's at local events and local restaurants. It is the most hilarious page you have ever seen. It's like little photos of this tiny little hippo and his adventures. And, like, there's one where he was visiting his pop-pop and he wanted to do a trapeze act off, like, a hanging light. And then they were at a state park or something and he wanted to get shot out of the cannon. And there's pictures of him in the little cannon. And, like, he's like, oh, pop-pop, shut this down too. And, like, oh my goodness, he's on vacation right now, I guess. You have to follow this page. It is so hilarious. It just brings joy and light to my day every day. Otis T. Squeaks. So, yes, check him out.
Yep.
And so, you wanted to talk about hotels that are now offering goldfish
services. I saw this story.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, some hotels are offering a goldfish service, an upscale complimentary service for its guests.
Now explain this, because when I read the headline, I was like, oh, is that dangerous for
goldfish?
Okay,
so let's read
this.
So a hotel in Springfield, Missouri is now offering additional upscale complimentary service for its guests. Upon arrival, just ask for Chip, Flipper, Sparkle, or Blondie at the John Q. Hammond's Hotel and Resorts.
And so
guests can choose to have a live goldfish in their room during their stay based on availability.
Uh-huh. So basically you just get a little bowl with the goldfish in it, or hopefully a bigger bowl. We hope it's not too small.
Let's see.
But so it's like it's not like any harm comes to the goldfish, because that was my concern. But it's like you can have a nice little tank with a swimming goldfish in it while you're there.
The little companion is a worry-free experience for guests. Hotel staff delivers the fish to the room as well and feeds and cares for it. All the guests have to do is enjoy the company.
That's very sweet.
I just thought this was really cool.
That is really cool. I like it. Now, my only concern is if you have, like, a real a-hole guest who mistreats the fish.
Oh, then that person just needs to be...
Well, arrested.
Banned from,
seriously.
From ever using a, getting a hotel ever.
Ever, yeah. But yeah, I think that's kind of a cool idea that... Because goldfish are very soothing. I used to have several fish. Actually, I want to get
hotels,
my fish tank set up again.
A lot of hotels now are doing much more pet-friendly options. It's like... That's kind of more the end thing now. Is like a lot of hotels that, because wherever we go, we travel with
our cat.
With our cat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we have to get a hotel
that's pet friendly.
That's going to be pet friendly. And there's a lot
and
more
not all
options.
Not all of them are, but there are a lot more options. And there's a lot more affordable options, too. So that's always nice.
And like with the, you know, I think people are understanding that like pets are important and like they need to be treated as, you know, because like with the whole hurricane thing where before people were refusing to evacuate because they didn't want to leave their pets.
Yeah, during Katrina. Because they weren't legally allowed to take the pets in the rescue boats, but they changed the law so that they could because
now,
people would not abandon their pets. Like we wouldn't. We'd be sitting there on the roof of our house with all our pets with us.
Yeah, and there was a lot of stories coming out too where a lot of animal rescues. And I mean, that's important. Like people are important, but animals are important too. Like,
and also the animals are important to the people who are, you're saying, are
you can't
important.
Just
like,
tell somebody, well, you got to let your child. You got to let your all your pets drown.
Right. No, no. Like people like us and like most people love their pets like children. So it's like, you're not. No. Well,
yeah. Were you at my place when we had the gas leak?
Yes. Yes,
we
I
had
was.
The gas leak. We had
I
to
was.
Get
we had to call the firefighter, and we actually had to call 911 because there was a gas leak in Matt's apartment.
We had kitten and
all
and
the rats,
three,
hamsters.
Yeah, hamster, all the rats out of that apartment in 10 minutes.
Yeah, we did
in my car.
We did
ready to go
because we were like, oh my god, there's a gas leak. The whole apartment could blow. We're not going to leave our animals in here. Well, and by the way, no one else in the apartment complex had called 911.
The manager.
Let me just give a little tip real quick. If you ever smell gas, call 911.
Yeah, the manager was like, well, I called maintenance, or she know.
I think she'd even called maintenance.
She says she called the gas company or something.
I don't know.
She either called maintenance or the gas company.
Something very
like,
ineffective.
I was like, okay, I'm gonna call 911 so the firefighters can get here and stop the building from blowing up.
Exactly.
Because that's what
and
you
that's
need
what
to
they
do
had
you,
to do.
And they came out and they had big giant fans and they found it and they shut it off and they put the fans in and blew everything out. It was fine. It's like. But
yeah,
it's like,
it might not have been fine because someone had like knocked into the dryer vent.
Somebody had
something.
Pulled the dryer out and the dryers were gas powered, I guess.
So idiotic.
And it broke the thing and opened the vent. So it was just leaking.
That's just what blew my mind too, is that no one else had called 911 and the manager hadn't called 911. So that's just a little service announcement, public service announcement from the
nerdy.
If
you smell
rat.
Gas, call 911.
Call 911. Better safe than sorry.
Let them deal with it. You're not going to get in trouble for calling 911.
No, if you smell gas, no. Yeah. So crazy. So anyway, but yes, you got to be prepared to evacuate with your pets quickly if you're ever in an emergency situation. So you know, actually, we should do better at this too. It's not a bad idea to keep their carriers close to where their cages and things are so that they're easily accessible in an emergency.
Don't keep them up in the attic where you can't get to them quickly. And have animals in your emergency plan.
Yes.
So you have a plan to get everybody out safely.
And a lot of people are recommending that you put it like a sticker on your door. And sometimes the local fire departments give you a sticker that say if you have pets, so then the firefighters will know to rescue your pets because they will. But you need to let them know that your pets are there.
So was there any, I think that's all of our animals.
I think that's all of our animals. I guess we're going to go on to nerdy stuff.
We went 28 minutes about animals.
Well, so what? That's all right. Half and half. We'll do half animals, half nerdy stuff. Because we're kind of light on the nerdy stuff this week.
Yeah, there's been a whole lot going on.
But there's a little bit. So let's talk. What do you want to start with?
Nerdy stuff. You want to talk about my game that I've been playing?
Yeah, and then I'll talk about my game.
My friend suggested this game to me. It's called Ziggurat. Or Ziggurat? Ziggurat. I think it's Ziggurat.
Okay, so what is it? And
so it's,
what's it about?
It's a roguelike where each time you play, when you die, you have to start over from the beginning.
Oh, I would hate that kind of game.
as you play, each time you play, you unlock new upgrades and stuff that are become
Do you get to keep available. Those if you restart?
Well, you don't keep them, but they become available in each run. So, like, the first time you play through it, you only have access to so many different types of characters and upgrades.
Uh-huh.
But then as you play through, you unlock those things, and then they become available to you. And so you can play the different characters and stuff, so mm-hmm. it makes it easier as you each time you play through. But it's really cool. It's like a first-person shooter, but it's like all kind of magic. Like all the weapons are like wands and staves, and there's like this one that shoots out these balls that shoot at your enemies. And, it's pretty fast paced. I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a first person version of Dead Cells.
Okay.
Which is I've talked about.
Previously. I've heard you talk about it. I could at least say, oh, I've heard of Dead Cells. Yeah. Yes.
It's
a
fun game. I like it. Okay, it's cool. I've really been into like the roguelites lately because it kind of reminds me of, like the old school Nintendo games.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like you kind of got to get better at it.
To
progress.
Master it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, Dead Cells was really cool, and then my friend recommended this one. I was like, oh, this is really cool. The combat feels good. It's a pretty well done game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it has like this replayability where it's like you just trying again.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's
I can get better at this and go further and
But
I'm enjoying it. I've been playing it every now and then, whenever I have free time. Really, that and Dead Cells is really the only games I've been playing lately.
Well, for me, speaking of new games, I got a new app game called Gardenscapes. Now, I love it, but I'm going to caution people, do not go broke playing this game.
What's it called again?
Gardenscapes. It's in the show notes. But so what it is, it's kind of like a matching game like Candy Crush, except you have specific goals for each level. Like you have to uncover the gnomes or you have to get a certain number of flowers. But the cool thing is, because I love to garden, every time you earn stars, you get to upgrade little things in your garden. So it's like you have a little world that you're upgrading and you get a little dog to be your pet. And like the butler is your friend who does all the upgrades and stuff. And he's so encouraging. He's like, good for you. You did it. And but I love it because I love the art. I love the peacefulness of it. I love brain games. And I love too that you have a limited number of lives. But it's not artificial like Gardens of Time, which I talked about in the other episode. Like in Gardens of Time, you have a limit. Like you can only play, you can only get lives by waiting. Right. But in Gardenscapes, you don't lose your lives unless you lose the level. So it is based on skill. And then, you know, there's nice daily power-ups and stuff like that. But I have to say, they really know how to play on your emotions to try to get you to make those in-app purchases of more coins and stuff like that. Because like there was this little dog training challenge and it's like you had to beat 3 levels consecutively. And if you fail like at the second level, you have to go all the way back to the first level. Well, you know, that, of course, is tempting you to spend money on power ups and things like that to help you beat the levels. So don't do that. Don't do it. The contests don't matter.
That's the trap.
It is the trap.
Mobile games.
It is the trap. So I have to say, just don't get sucked into spending money on it, but it's a really fun game if you like that kind of game and you like the little brain teaser games and the little nice garden world that goes with it.
So I'm curious, do you just like search the app store for garden games?
Well, let me say, no, not in this case. But what happened was, your mom got me hooked on Magic Puzzle, which is another app game, and it's a jigsaw puzzle game. And I really like that one because you get like a free daily puzzle and you have like several free puzzle packs that come with it. But then that's the one I wanted to load on your iPad because you earn like little coins every time you beat a puzzle.
Oh, okay.
And then when you have a certain number of coins, you can actually purchase new puzzle packs with the money you've earned inside the game and not with real money.
Oh, okay.
So on the iPad, I can play bigger puzzles with more pieces and earn more coins. But anyway, Gardenscapes was the ad that kept coming up in Magic Puzzle. So I was like, oh, what is this? Let me check this out. I love to garden. Let me just look at what this is. And it sucked me in, and now I love it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So those are the kind of games I love. Brain teaser games, like jigsaw puzzles, are so soothing.
Yeah.
So I really like
them. I can't really play games on my phone. Like,
yeah.
I feel, I don't know, like looking down at my phone, I end up hurting, like my neck ends up hurting after a while. That's the reason why I don't play a lot of mobile games, too. It's just like, I'm not comfortable sitting like that and playing a game.
You have to prop, the phone up pretty high. Like I usually prop my knees up and then I prop a pillow on top of my knees and put my elbows on the pillow so that I'm not looking down too much.
Oh yeah. See, I just can't ever get comfortable. You have to get your system down. So
yeah. So now Matt also recently watched Castlevania on Netflix.
Yeah. It's like 5-episode miniseries. Mm-hmm.
Now I was really disappointed because I was going to bed and he was watching it and I saw the very beginning with Dracula and that girl, we think her name was Lisa. And
yeah,
I thought
the mother of Alucard.
Yeah. So I thought the whole series was gonna be the little rom com between Dracula and Lisa because it was so cute and they were so sassy with each other. And like I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to watch this on my own. This just looks amazing. And then Matt's like, no, she dies in the next scene.
Yeah. it was a really cool, like the interaction between Lisa and Dracula was really good.
I hope they go back and do a whole another mini series.
It
would have
been nice because like a lot of the other stuff that's in the series is pretty much ties directly into the games. Like when Lisa is burned at the stake, like that's
from the game?
Shown in Symphony of the Night.
Oh,
there's a boss that you have to fight. Where she goes into Alucard's memory of when that happened.
Oh, interesting.
And basically, she tells Alucard not to hate people because of that
stuff.
So like we know that event happens, but it's like you jump from they just met each other and they're having like they seem like they're gonna have a really cool interaction and like they're gonna work together well, and then we jump. Next scene is her getting killed. And then that's followed up by Dracula basically saying, I'm going to kill everybody in a year.
Uh-huh.
And then a year goes by, and then he summons a whole demon horde to kill the entire countryside, basically.
Yeah. And so you basically like the series, though? I mean, aside from the fact that you would have liked more, like I would have with the storyline and stuff, how did you feel about the series overall?
I think it was a good setup. It was basically a setup, I believe, for the events of the third Castlevania game.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that was the one where, because basically it's a story about Trevor meeting up with Alucard and the girl whose name I don't remember.
So did it kind of follow the storyline of the game exactly then? Or
no,
was
it's
it?
It's like it details events that happened before the game.
Okay, so kind of like a prequel to the game, but not what I would have liked to see, which is the relationship between Dracula and
Lisa. I mean, it was cool. It got dark really fast.
Yeah, and I don't like watching
like
that kind of dark stuff.
Demons
so.
Coming out and ripping people and eating
babies.
No. Like,
oh, hell no. I would not be into that. I mean, that literally. Hell no. So... yeah, but if they ever do a second one where they go more into the relationship between Dracula and Lisa and that's the whole thing, I would love to watch that. Love to watch that.
Yeah, it was
with
cool
the same
though.
Voice actors and stuff, because I just really enjoyed how they set it up.
Yeah, it was
really
pretty cool
it.
Though. The fight scene between Trevor and Alucard was awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was kind of short.
Now,
it was
who's
a little
Trevor?
Short though. Trevor Belmont. He's one of the Belmonts that I believe he's from the third game.
But who is he? What's his purpose?
He's a Belmont. Belmonts.
What's
are,
a Belmont? See, I don't know what this is. Explain this to me.
Well, the Belmonts are typically the heroes of all the Castlevania games. They're a line of vampire hunters.
Oh, they're, I thought Alucard like a, was the hero.
Well, Alucard is the hero in Symphony of the Night.
Okay.
But typically in the first three movies, it was always a Belmont who was going in to kill Dracula.
Like, oh, okay.
The first Castlevania is, I don't think it's Trevor, it's Simon Belmont is going in to kill Dracula. And,
okay.
And his whole family apparently is just a line of vampire hunters.
Oh, okay.
So
all
usually
right.
most Castlevania games are about the Belmonts killing Dracula. Uh-huh.
Now, why were Trevor and Alucard fighting?
Well, because they had just met. And they initially, I think Trevor thought Alucard was Dracula.
Oh, I see.
Because he was basically in a crypt and he
now,
was like sleeping.
Is Alucard a vampire?
He's half.
Is he a daywalker?
He's half, I believe. He's
is he a daywalker.
I don't know.
Like
this
Blade.
Was, I don't know. This, I don't. I'm pretty sure in this game, I don't think sunlight actually kills Dracula.
Okay.
I don't think All it's right. possible. I'm not up to date on my Castlevania lore.
You know what? I can't remember if in the classic, movie that if sunlight actually kills Dracula.
In the classic movie, it does not.
No, it doesn't, right? Because no, I think doesn't. He's just fat during the day.
He's weakened during the day, but it does not kill him.
It doesn't kill him, yeah.
Because in the original book, he's walking around in the day doing
stuff. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. So, okay.
Yeah, the sunlight thing is like more of a modern invention of vampires.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you want to talk about the clown only showing of it?
So, okay, now, I don't like horror movies at all, but this cracked me up. Matt does. So, Matt's going to go see the new remake of It. He's actually probably going to see it tonight, so we can talk.
Either
he can talk about that next
tonight or tomorrow,
show. Yeah, he can talk about that next podcast, and I'll question him on it. But, okay, so when Wonder Woman came out, there was this theater, the Alamo Drafthouse, that was going to do a women-only screening of Wonder Woman, and some people were very offended by that and were like, oh, well, when It comes out, are you going to do a clown only
they
showing of It?
I don't think
they were being
offended.
Sarcastic.
They weren't being offended by it. They were just like trying to make a political issue out of something stupid.
No,
like,
some people are just haters, babe. So they were anti-women haters who were upset. And some people, yes, tried to make it political or whatever.
They were
just
being stupid.
But, well, we have different takes on that. But anyway, some sarcastic a-hole troll said, well, are you going to do a clown-only showing of It? Well, guess what? The theater was like, yes, we are. You have to come dressed as a clown, and if you're not dressed as a clown, you can't get in.
Yeah.
And it sold out. I just think that's so hilarious.
I think it's awesome.
I think it's so funny. Like, stick it to the trolls, you know?
Well, it's just like, oh, well, would you? It's like, yeah, we will. And it sold out, and it's amazing. It's like, just let people have... Like, they want to do a women's only showing of a movie.
Anything. So
let them do it.
So what? Like, they're not saying they were only doing a women's showing, too. It wasn't like their only showing was for women.
Like
it said we're going to do
They're not oppressing anybody by doing it.
Exactly.
This. Calm down.
They're empowering people.
Calm down.
I know. Seriously. Seriously.
Calm down.
Calm down. Go put your clown outfit on and go see It. Make yourself feel better.
Apparently, the movie is, like, sold out all over the place.
Really?
Like, I was listening to a YouTube video. And the guy was talking about going to see it. He said he tried to go see it the first night. It was all sold out. I don't know why.
Well,
like,
the first one was pretty popular, right? Wasn't it like
the first
some
one
classic
was popular
horror movie?
And this got some good reviews initially.
Oh, okay.
And I think people just went absolutely insane for it, which I mean, okay. I understand why people have like kind of this like fond memory of it, because I think a lot of people my age saw it as kids and were scared of it.
Oh,
because,
Lord, yeah.
Because when you're a kid, it's
of
creepy.
Of course. No,
but
people shouldn't even be showing kids horror movies.
It's not very good.
It's really not good. So now it's kind of like a nostalgia thing.
It's kind of, well, Tim Curry was good, but Tim Curry's great in everything.
Oh, Tim Curry's amazing. I didn't know was he the clown?
Yeah, he was the clown. That's why people
Oh, my gosh. Well, no wonder people. Yeah, I could totally see people, loving it for that.
Yeah, I mean, he was really the only good thing about the whole miniseries.
Yeah, I love pretty much everything he's in. He was in The Muppet Treasure Island, and he was Long John Silver. He was amazing.
Yeah. Well, he was
actually a pretty good movie.
He was hilarious as Pennywise the Clown.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
now
people,
who's playing the clown in the new one?
Some kid.
No one famous.
I don't know. I've heard like a lot of people have likened it to like the Goonies, I guess. So it's got that kind of like 80s
vibe. Okay. All right. Well, I feel like I should loan you a crucifix to take with you, but
it's fine. It's not a demon. He's an interdimensional being that feeds on children.
That's horrifying.
He's from the macroverse. Stephen King's writing
horrifying.
Is kind of nonsense, actually.
That's still horrifying. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't do horror movies. The only type scary movies like that I do are zombies. And I occasionally like vampires as long as there's not too much demonic stuff going on with the vampires. Because those are, like, the only things I don't believe in. I don't think they're actually real. Not that I'm saying interdimensional clowns are real, but that's just horrifying. But like zombies and vampires I enjoy, but nothing else. nothing else.
So
Matt will let you all know how that is during the next podcast.
I got a couple other things I want to talk about.
All right, what else do you want to talk about?
So I binge watched all of Rick and Morty.
What's that?
So Rick and Morty is a cartoon show.
I think I've heard of that.
It's a cartoon show about this like super genius Grandpa Rick, and he goes on these crazy adventures with his grandson Morty.
Now, is that that recent or is that old?
It's recent. They're in season three right now.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of like...
Would you binge watch it on Netflix or Hulu or what?
Hulu, I think. Okay. Hulu, and then I watched the new season. On the website.
Oh, on the website, yeah. So,
but I've enjoyed it. Uh-huh. Some people don't like it. I kind of understand why. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a mix of like Futurama and The Simpsons a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like it's a lot darker than either of those.
Yeah.
But it's like real strong. Like, I think it takes a lot of like science fiction tropes and kind of turns them on their head a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
But it can get really dark, and there is some really dark stuff in it that I'm not sure that you would enjoy.
No.
But like one of the episodes, there's, you know, like the pod people story.
Yeah, kind of.
So there's like a.
That's like a classic horror thing.
So they get on this ship that's being taken over by this like this group consciousness that's been taking over the brains of all these people.
Okay, it's kind of like the Borg.
Called Unity.
All right.
It's kind of like a pod person version of that.
Okay.
And then it turns out like Rick used to date Unity.
What? Oh, and, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's the grandpa's ex.
And then there's like this like Borg like character that shows up that's like jealous.
Oh.
Because he wanted to date Unity or whatever.
Oh. So that's kind of silly.
Yeah. So it does a lot of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It takes like kind of traditional like science fiction or movie like kind of, I don't want to say tropes, but like kind of like storylines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like they had an episode where it was like a Mad Max kind of world. Because like the whole gimmick of the show is basically like this super genius Rick character has this portal gun that can take him to other dimensions instantly.
Okay.
So like one episode they went to a dimension where like all the chairs sat on people.
Oh, weird.
Yeah,
okay,
it's just
like
weird.
Just weird stuff.
There's a lot
of
like weird trippiness in it too.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of celebrity appearances.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It reminded me of The Simpsons. It's mm-hmm. like, and the writing kind of reminds me of early, like first seven seasons of Simpsons.
Yeah, like when it was good.
Yeah, like remember how the first seven seasons of The Simpsons, like all the jokes were really well written and funny and enjoyable.
Yes.
Yeah, and then it's like that.
It's like that. Well, that's good.
It's
that's
like
nice.
Where they actually like have some thought into their jokes. And
right.
I was watching this whole video on the writing, like what happened to The Simpsons. And he would like compare jokes from like one of the first seven seasons and compare it to like a current season and how like it like he would take that joke and be like, this is how it would have been written.
Oh, interesting.
By the old people that were doing The Simpsons. And now it's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
So. But no, I've enjoyed it. I see why I see why people don't like it. I also see why people do really like it. I kind of lean more toward really enjoying it because I think it's clever.
It's clever and it sounds like it's your type of thing and it's not the type of thing that bothers you. So that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. So I binge watch all of that. It's only like 10 issue episodes per season. It's like really short seasons, but it's pretty quality stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. The other thing I wanted to talk about, I gotta find the link to this, but there's a new Magic the Gathering game coming out.
Oh.
So you're familiar with Magic.
The card game. I haven't played it, but I'm familiar with it, yes.
So they're coming out with a new version for the computer that's going to be...
Oh, for the computer.
It's basically, the way it was, I saw it described, they're describing it as similar to Hearthstone. So Hearthstone is Blizzard's card game. And the cool thing about the way Hearthstone works is you...
Hearthstone?
Hearthstone.
Okay.
Like a home, like Hearthstone.
Isn't that... Don't you pronounce that hearth?
Hearthstone?
I don't know.
I don't know. So basically, the cool thing that they're going to do with it, from my understanding of it, is that you can play it and you can unlock all the cards for free basically from playing the game.
Oh, that's nice. That is really nice.
Yeah.
So you
and
don't spend a lot of money.
They said they've built it around people that want to stream and stuff. So they're trying to make basically a version of Magic the Gathering that has all the same stuff as Hearthstone, which I'm really excited about because it's called Magic the Gathering Arena.
Okay.
So I'm excited about it because it's actually like I love Magic the Gathering and I just never got into Hearthstone. And I'm kind of too late to get into Hearthstone because mm-hmm. there's been so many expansions of it coming out that mm-hmm. to get in and try and play it, I either got to spend a lot of money or spend a lot of time playing and losing mm-hmm. to get enough cards to be able to learn and compete and everything.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm excited about this new Magic game. And a lot of the problems with, like, there is an online version of Magic you can play, but I've never gotten into it because it's like you've got to buy the cards the same way you would buy the physical cards.
Yeah, that's annoying.
And you got to buy packs for the same price.
Yeah,
or
I don't really think anybody these days wants to spend money like that on something. It's kind of passe. It's kind of like pre-internet gaming. And, like, you know, I think people just aren't into that anymore.
Well, I mean, like, I played the physical game back growing up, you know, and I spent thousands of dollars.
I played
on that
Star
game.
Trek The Next Generation, the customizable card game. Oh, yeah, me and my brothers and my cousins played that. And, I mean, I loved it, but it was expensive. It was highly expensive. And I don't feel like doing that anymore,
yeah,
you know?
It's just like you're committing so much money into these things.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the return that you're getting out of it?
Exactly. Well, that's cool. I think that's a cool way to do it then,
to have it be like
you can earn the cards instead of buying them. Now, I assume you can also still buy if you want to, but I think that's nice to give an option.
The way Hearthstone works is like you can pay to unlock stuff faster. Mm-hmm. But you can also unlock everything that you would unlock through paying through the game.
Well, and you know, that's what I appreciate about Gardenscapes, my little phone game, is that you can unlock stuff yourself and every level is beatable. So, I mean, and now it's random. So sometimes you don't get the moves you want, but it's like you don't have to pay for anything. You can just do it all on your own and be patient.
Well, and the thing I like about these free-to-play games is like if they make a good game and I'm enjoying it, I will spend money on it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not like if I feel like I have to spend money to keep up with other people, I'm not going to spend money on your game.
Right.
I'm just
going to
play
sense.
Something else.
Exactly.
But I am really excited about this new game.
Well, that's good.
Like,
I hope you enjoy it.
Because I haven't really been able to play Magic recently because it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I just don't have the energy to go out and try and meet people.
Yeah.
And a lot of times my work schedule interferes with going to a lot of these events.
Exactly,
too.
Because you're working like Friday or Saturday is when they're having
events. Also, like, you have to constantly be spending money. Like, every time I come back, I end up spending like $100 trying to like just get back into it.
Right.
Because they retire all the old cards that you were using.
Yeah.
Like, they keep some of them, but like a lot of them end up getting cycled out and you got to go out and buy all the new stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to talk about was, so Destiny 2 came out on console. Which
now, what's Destiny 2?
Destiny 2 is a first-person shooter MMO, or massive multiplayer online
game.
I know by these days
what an MMO is. Baby.
So
I've been with you long enough.
there's a big fan following for Destiny 1, and so Destiny 2 came out, and one thing that they were talking about was they had microtransactions where basically, you could spend money, real money, to get these engrams, which are basically like loot boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff they give you is like cosmetic stuff, but you could also get like stuff that would like give you extra stats or like in-game stuff. So some people were saying it was like pay to win, but mm-hmm. when I looked into it a little bit more, it's not that bad actually, because a lot of the stuff that you get, you'll quickly replace. It's not like you can't get like the best stuff in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like little extra stuff that like might help you when you first hit max level.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it's not that terrible, but I still think it's kind of crappy to like put like stuff that's going to give you like gear in game basically mm-hmm. into a loot box when you're paying $60 for the game to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, apparently, they made shaders single-time use to try and sell more of these, which shaders were an item that once you, in the first Destiny, you got it and you could use it to change the color of your equipment.
Okay.
So you could look fabulous.
Uh-huh, yes, yes.
And once you unlocked a specific color, you could use it as many times as you want. Now you can only use them once. So that's kind of to try and encourage people to buy more of these engrams to get more shaders so they can. And the other thing I really don't like about it is that it's instead of like opening a shop where you could buy the thing that you want, like you could buy the cosmetic that you wanted or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's just a loot box. So it's basically like you pay all this money and then it's like a slot machine. And it's just giving you random stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've never been a fan of that kind of like like extra content in games, because what ends up happening is you spend $50 to try and get the thing you want when it's like one thing that you want. And it's just because the RNG or randomness of opening the box. Like, I don't, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm still on the fence if I'm going to get this game when it comes out for PC next month. I mean, if a lot of my friends are like, oh, we're going to play this game, I probably would pick it up because it does look like a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just the whole, I'm not a fan of this microtransaction stuff, especially, especially in AAA fully priced games that just come out. It's like, you kind of expect that stuff in a free to play game because that's how they're going to make money. But like in this game, like, well, you're just trying, like, it just feels like they're just being greedy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you could add content to games through, you know, microtransactions, but like make it worth it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or like if there's like a really cool outfit or something that they want to sell, like just sell me that outfit. Don't sell me a chance to win that outfit. That's like, I hate gambling.
I know.
If I wanted to gamble, I'd go to Vegas.
I
don't want to play video games so I can gamble.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. Find out. Tune in next time to find out if Matt buys Destiny 2 or not.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure. I may end up getting it just because I don't have a lot of games I'm playing right now.
Yeah.
That have been taking up a lot of time. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, we're getting close to Extra Life. When is that? That is
yes,
a month
that's
away.
Like, yeah, like
let's
the end of the end of October. So maybe like 6 weeks.
Yeah. So I'm going to be playing on
now.
When
for
did
those
I say
who
I was gonna
don't
play?
Know, Extra Life is a charity Matt supports. It's gamer stream for 24 hours total, not necessarily in order, not necessarily all at once. And the money raised goes to the local children's hospital, which for us is in DC. And all the money goes directly towards patient care for patients who can't afford it, which is great. They don't take out any administrative fees. So. It's a wonderful thing. Matt does this thing where if you donate, for every dollar you donate, you can request that he play a minute of any game that he owns, and he has quite a few.
So if you want to donate a lot of money, you can make me play some really terrible games.
That's right. His mom made him play Candy Crush last year. It was very funny.
Yeah.
an hour.
Hour of Candy Crush.
And that's not Matt's type of game.
My other friend made me play...
was it the goat simulator?
Goat simulator.
Yeah.
Goat Z, the zombie goat simulator.
Yeah, which was pretty cute, but still for a long time.
So
it's
5 weeks away. I'm going to be streaming on October 28th and 29th. I'm going to do 2 12-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that'll be on my Twitch channel, which is mag007ARAS. It's my main Twitch account.
And we have links to
I'll put a link on it on our Twitter when I start streaming.
Yeah, we have links to his charity page on our website, which is www.thenerdyrat.com. So you can check it out there and donate if you want to.
Yep. And Small Angels is our rescue. It's a Frederick
Rat County. Rescue.
It's our rat rescue.
That we participate with. It's not like our personal one.
Frederick County, Maryland, 501c3, nonprofit, no kill, all volunteer. Organization dedicated to rescuing and rehoming gerbils, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, and rats.
Mm-hmm. And they desperately need, by the way, if you're in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, they really need a mouse coordinator, a gerbil coordinator, and a hamster coordinator.
They're looking
for the adoption coordinators. And they could use more volunteers on the board, just more to help out with events.
If you're in the area and interested in fostering.
Yeah, fostering rats. Fostering anything, rats or guinea pigs. Yeah, they really need some more help. They kind of need some fresh blood in there to get revitalized. And they do such good work. We would love to help them continue on.
A lot of the people doing this organization have been doing it for years and years at this point.
They're starting to hit a little burnout. So. And it's an all-volunteer organization, so it can be kind of difficult sometimes to get people to participate, I guess. So
yeah.
Anyway, help them out. We love them.
Yep. All right. Thanks, everybody.
We'll see you next time. Later.